Cha-ching. That's the sound of Lowe's Labor Day savings. Get up to 45% off select major appliances and save up to an additional $100 on select laundry pairs. Plus, get 3 bags of Miracle-Gro 0.75 cubic foot garden soil for just $10. Labor Day deals are on now at Lowe's, in-store and online. Valid through 9/9 while supplies last. Selection varies by location. See Lowe's.com for more details. Soil offer excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi.
We are getting here to the end. We are getting to the moment at which we find out the future of the verdict that will be rendered against Keefe D for the murder of Tupac Shakur. Someone finally facing charges. Somebody finally facing repercussions for what happened that night. We're not quite there yet. Oh, actually, by the time you're watching this, we might be. We might be. But let me pick up where things have left off as we've been chronicling the trial for you every single day. The defense called 3 witnesses. The entire case took under 2 hours. Then both sides rested. One of those 3 witnesses was Dan Long, a retired Las Vegas Metropolitan Police homicide detective. Long led the Tupac Shakur murder investigation for 15 years, from 2002 to 2017. He told the jury he came back from a 2009 interview with Dwayne Keefe D. Davis, believing he had probable cause for a murder arrest. He intended to seek a warrant. Prosecutors at the time told him to stand down while they reviewed the matter. They never acted on it. Davis walked free for another 14 years. Years he spent telling the story of a murder on BET, in a book, on YouTube, and on a recorded jail phone. The defense called Long to show the investigation was broken. But in calling him, the defense put a detective on the stand who told the jury under oath that the evidence for murder was already there in 2009. Good job, guys. I feel like Tupac would be writing a very good diss song at you from wherever he's at right now. Like, I'd love to hear that. That would be like, you idiots. Before Long, the defense called 2 officers who had been assigned to watch Suge Knight's Las Vegas home the night of the shooting. Height, former LVMPD sergeant, and Charlie Mangrum, a former lieutenant, were working overtime during the Mike Tyson fight on September 7th in 96. Knight was expected to host a party at the residence after the bout. Height and Mangrum testified they saw a light-colored Cadillac arrive at Knight's home. It later left as part of a convoy that included Knight driving Shakur in his BMW. Mangrum said, around 10:10 to 10:15 p.m., the BMW with Tupac in the passenger seat came to the gate with 5 or 6 other vehicles in line. The Cadillac was among them. The defense's argument with these witnesses is specific. If the white Cadillac was at Knight's house as part of the same convoy, then it wasn't a vehicle that had been separately dispatched to ambush Tupac on the boulevard. It was a car in the same group heading to the same strip, caught up, in the same night. Snaft asked whether homicide detectives in 1996 would have followed up on that information. The answer was yes. The defense is telling the jury the original investigation missed something that something that should have mattered. And that gap in the police work undermines everything that came after. He just got the wrong car, guys. Whoops. Problem solved. Sorry we all been here inconveniencing each other for the last handful of years. Good luck on the investigation. Maybe you'll find him. But the convoy detail has limits the defense didn't address. A car being in the same group doesn't mean the people inside it have the same intentions as everyone else in the line. A Cadillac leaving Knight's house doesn't mean the men inside it weren't already planning what happened on Las Vegas Boulevard. Prosecutors allege the retaliation was decided at the house after the MGM brawl that the Cadillac left as part of the group, specifically because the target was in the BMW ahead of it. The convoy isn't an alibi. It's the route to the crime. The defense called Long. He had been working the Shakur case for 7 years by the time he sat down with Davis in Los Angeles in 2009. The interview came roughly a year after Davis sat for the proffer with the joint LAPD and federal task force. Long was the Las Vegas side of the investigation. The detective who had lived with the case file longer than anyone else in the department. Snap questioned Long about details Davis provided in that session. And how many Long was able to independently confirm? The answer was damaging for the prosecution. Davis told Long that his nephew Orlando Anderson had gone to a Las Vegas hospital after being beaten at the MGM Grand. Long could not find hospital records, though, confirming it. Davis told Long that a white Cadillac had been rented before the shooting. Long could not locate a rental agreement for the vehicle. Two specific claims from Davis's account, both unverified. The case file itself had problems. Long testified that the paper file had to be locked down at one point because curious department employees were accessing it to read about the investigation. This was the Tupac Shakur murder file. One of the most famous unsolved cases in American history, sitting in a cabinet that apparently anyone in the building could open. Long said some of his own reports were later lost when the department switched electronic storage systems. 15 years of detective work on one case and pieces of the record disappearing during a software migration, apparently. Snap's argument is clean. The investigation could not independently verify key parts of Davis's story. If Davis said Anderson went to the hospital and there's no record, maybe Anderson never went. If Davis said a Cadillac was rented and there's no record, maybe Davis is unreliable. If the case file was being accessed by unauthorized employees and reports were vanishing, the investigation was compromised from the inside. It's poking holes. On cross-examination, the prosecution challenged the verification failures directly. Long testified that Davis had identified the same four men investigators had already believed were in the Cadillac. The hospital records are gone. The rental records are gone. But Davis named the same suspects the investigation developed before he ever sat down to talk. Multiple witnesses saw the Cadillac at Knight's house that night, including the two officers the defense itself just called to the stand. Verification gaps in a case this old cut both ways. The defense reads the missing records as evidence the story is false. But the prosecution had an answer. On cross-examination, Long testified that Davis identified the same four men investigators had already believed were in the Cadillac when Shakur was shot. Prosecutors argue that Davis's account matched information the investigation had already developed independently. That's the corroboration the defense spent the morning saying doesn't exist. The hospital records are gone. The rental agreement is gone, but Davis is named. Right there with four people. The defense reads the missing paperwork as proof the story is unreliable. The prosecution reads the matching names as proof the story is real. Then a juror asked Long the question that reframed everything the defense had built. Were you able to verify that Davis was actually in the Cadillac the night Shakur was killed? Long's answer, Davis himself told him he was in the car. And that the shooting came from it. That's the prosecution's entire case in one sentence, delivered by the defense's own witness. The only evidence that Davis was in the Cadillac is Davis. The prosecution spent 9 days making that argument. Davis told the story so many times, in so many formats, that his words became the evidence itself. Long's answer confirmed what the state has said all along. There's nothing else. He's already admitted to it. The defense wants the jury to hear that as a weakness. No independent corroboration. He just lied forever. No physical evidence tying Davis to the car. No rental records. No hospital records. No witness can place him in the Cadillac other than himself. That's true. Prosecution wants a jury to hear it. It's proof. A man confessed repeatedly across two decades in six different formats and nobody made him do it. Same fact, two readings. The jury picks one. Longden testified about what happened after the 2009 interview. He said that he returned to Las Vegas intending to seek a murder arrest warrant. He believed there was probable cause. He had Davis on tape describing the shooting, naming the participants, and placing himself in the front seat. Prosecutors at the time told him to stand down while they reviewed the matter. Never followed through. Davis was not arrested. He went on to appear in the BET documentary, the series, the Death Row Chronicles, published Compton Street Legend in 2019, promoted the book on YouTube as The Real Truth. He was eventually arrested in September of 23. The arrest didn't come because new evidence surfaced. It came because his public statements stripped the proffer protections and gave prosecutors a path to use his own words against him. The defense called Long to show the system failed. The stand down is their evidence. The case was never strong enough to bring to trial. But the stand down has a second edge. If a detective believed there was probable cause for murder in 2009 and was told to wait, the evidence wasn't weak. The institution was slow. Davis did not testify. The man who told the story of the murder to the LAPD detectives, Las Vegas Metro, the BET documentary crew, the book publisher, and on a recorded jail call, chose silence when the microphone was finally his. The oath was real. The prosecution was waiting with every version he had already given, and he said nothing. The prosecution apparently is not going to be calling any rebuttal witnesses. They believe the case stands on what the jury has already heard. Closing arguments are next, and then it goes to the jury. What happens from here? Your thoughts in the comments section on Substack and YouTube. Links are in the description. Be sure to press subscribe wherever you're watching us or listening to us right now. And if you're watching us on YouTube, take the podcast with you. The QR code's right there. Takes to our link tree. You can go to Apple Podcasts or Spotify or really get us anywhere you get podcasts. Just search Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi and hit subscribe. All right? So you don't miss any of our podcasts. All right. We'll continue our conversation there in the comments on YouTube. Until next time, like I said, I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.